May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 673. When Jesus' gracious hand has touched our eyes and ears, oh, what a dreary land the wilderness appears. No healing balm springs from its dust, no cooling stream to quench the thirst. Hymn 673.
From the Holy Word of God. Let us turn this evening to read in the book of Job and chapter 10. The book of Job and the 10th chapter. And we'll follow through to verse 11 of chapter 11. The book of Job, chapter 10, to the 11th verse of chapter 11. My soul is weary of my life. I will leave my complaint upon myself. I will speak in the bitterness of my soul. I will say unto God, do not condemn me. Show me wherefore thou contendest with me. Is it good unto thee that thou shouldest oppress, that thou shouldest despise the work of thine hands, and shine upon the counsel of the wicked? Hast thou eyes of flesh, or seest thou as man seeth? Are thy days as the days of a man? Are thy years as man's days, that thou inquirest after mine iniquity, and searchest after my sin? Thou knowest that I am not wicked, and there is none that can deliver out of thine hand. Thine hands have made me, and fashioned me together round about. Yet thou dost destroy me. Remember, I beseech thee, that thou hast made me as the clay, and wilt thou bring me into dust again? Hast thou not poured me out as milk, and curdled me like cheese? Thou hast clothed me with skin and flesh, and hast fenced me with bones and sinews. Thou hast granted me life and favour, and thy visitation hath preserved my spirit. And these things hast thou hid in thine heart. I know that this is with thee. If I sin, then thou markest me, and thou wilt not acquit me from mine iniquity. If I be wicked, woe unto me. And if I be righteous, yet will I not lift up my head. I am full of confusion. Therefore see thou mine affliction, for it increaseth. Thou huntest me as a fierce lion, and again thou showest thyself marvellous upon me. Thou renewest thy witnesses against me, and increasest thine indignation upon me. Changes and war are against me. Wherefore then hast thou brought me forth out of the womb? Oh, that I had given up the ghost, and no eye had seen me. I should have been as though I had been, I had not been. I should have been carried from the womb to the grave. Are not my days few? Cease then and let me alone, that I may take comfort a little. Before I go, whence I shall not return, even to the land of darkness and the shadow of death, the land of darkness, as darkness itself, and of the shadow of death, without any order, and where the light is as darkness. Then answered Zophar the Naamathite and said, should not the multitude of words be answered? And should a man full of talk be justified? Should thy lies make men hold their peace? And when thou mockest, shall no man make thee ashamed? For thou hast said, my doctrine is pure, and I am clean in thine eyes. But oh, that God would speak, and open his lips against thee, and that he would show thee the secrets of wisdom, that they are double to that which is. Know therefore that God exacteth of thee less than thine iniquity deserveth. Canst thou by searching find out God? Canst thou find out the Almighty unto perfection? It is as high as heaven. What canst thou do? Deeper than hell. What canst thou know? The measure thereof is longer than the earth and broader than the sea. If he cut off and shut up or gather together, then who can hinder him? For he knoweth vain men. He seeth wickedness also. Will he not then consider it? May the Lord bless the reading of his holy, sacred and solemn word. And may he help us now to pray. O thou most holy, almighty and eternal God, Lord, thou seest each one of us now, and knowest, Lord, exactly how each of us is. Lord, we are guilty in thy most holy sight. And Lord, we are not worthy to approach unto thee. Yet, Lord, we read, thou art a gracious God. Lord, thou didst send thine only begotten Son into this world to bear the sins of many. Lord, thou didst send him to stand between a sinner and thy holy presence, thy holy being, that it is he instead of we is seen as we approach to God. O Lord, look upon us now in that mercy and in that grace as we plead the precious name and the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, may that fountain open for sin and uncleanness be granted unto each one of us here, revealed by thy Spirit, the teachers of sin, and leads to Jesus' blood. O Lord, this is the only way whereby we can be saved. Christ is the way, the only name, by which we must be saved. And so, Lord, we come this night to worship Thee. We come, Lord, seeking the help of Thy Spirit, that we may indeed worship Thee in spirit and in truth. Lord, Thou hast not dealt with us as our sins deserve. Thou hast not rewarded us according to our iniquities. Thy long-suffering, Lord, has been lengthened out to us and hath brought us to the evening of another day. In spite of all our transgressions, our faults, and our failures, O Lord, do not let this moment now pass without some knowledge of Thy pardoning love. Lord, do not let this hour in Thy house pass by without a view by faith of Jesus. Lord, help us, we pray, that we may view Him as the Lamb of God, for sinners slain. And, O Lord, to view Him in His risen power. Lord, so come and be in our midst this night, as Thou hast promised, that where two or three are gathered together in Thy name, then there Thou art in the midst of them. O Lord, we pray for Thy help this night, that we may lose sight of all things that would crowd in and interfere with our time of worship. Lord, there's many things in our lives that arise, fill our hearts and our minds. Even right things, Lord. Things, Lord, we've no control over. But, oh, how they can hide Thee from our sight. Lord, help us now to look unto Thee and to pour out our hearts before Thee in the attitude of prayer. Lord, Thou knowest each heart before Thee now. Lord, Thou knowest its sorrows, and Thou knowest its joys. Lord, we come before Thee with all our cases and all our cares. Lord, do remember those who have specific pathways to walk. Remember those, Lord, bereaved of loved ones. Family here, Lord, the one, the loss of her mother and a grandmother. Lord, we commend the family to Thee and the wider family. Lord, that Thou wilt remember them tomorrow at the funeral service. And Lord, we pray that Thou wilt grant them Thy peace, a peace that passeth understanding. A peace, Lord, that only Thou canst give concerning that which has taken place. And Lord, may they know, O Lord, Thy goodness and mercy hath prevailed, and it is well with the one whom Thou hast taken from time into eternity. Lord, Thou knowest those that are Thine. We cannot judge. All things are known unto Thee, and Thou art a kind and gracious God. Lord, so grant that solace of Thine, Thy mercy and Thy peace to the mourning family. But, oh, do not let them mourn. are without that hope. We pray, Lord, for each one in their varied pathways of life. Lord, do keep continually in thy care. Lord, remember the young people. We commend them to thee in these difficult days. Lord, there are so many enticements and so many attractions, so many temptations to depart from the way of truth. And only thou, Lord, can keep them from Satan and his mighty power. And Lord, we commend the young people and the children to thee, that they may be kept from the evil, delivered from it. And Lord, thou wilt reveal in them the knowledge of thy sacred truth as it is in Jesus, the Saviour of sinners, that each one of them, Lord, may know what it is to be a sinner and a sinner saved by grace. Help them, Lord, in their education and occupation and all that is before them. Lord, remember those with friendships, relationships. Oh, Lord, we commend them to thee. Those expecting children, those who have children. Lord, have mercy upon them each. And Lord, do sanctify their pathways to the good of their souls. Lord, may they know thy good hand yet to be upon them, to lead and guide them in the way of truth. And Lord, we pray that from amongst the arising generations, thou wilt be many that thou doth call by grace, who can testify openly of the mercy thou hast granted to them. Their foundation upon Christ alone. And so, Lord, grant additions to the visible church, thy church upon this earth, even to the cause of truth, the church here. O Lord, do grant additions, whether younger or older, of those whom thou hast called by grace. Lord, do bless the preached word. Lord, may it not return to thee void. May it be thy voice in it. And so it will accomplish that which thou doth please and prosper in the thing to which thou doth send it. Lord, may it be so tonight. May the words of these lips and the meditation of each of our hearts be found acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Lord, be with each one of us here, middle age as we would say, and older age. Lord, may none of us be left outside of the knowledge of the love of Christ, that redeeming love. O Lord, how at this season of the year we think expressly upon it. Those wounds, those sufferings, that death. The hiding of the Father's face that claws him to cry out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The guilty sinners such as we may not be forsaken of thee. O Lord, what love, what wondrous love. Lord, do grant the knowledge of it shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Lord, give us the faith to look upon him whom we have pierced, and to mourn for him. But Lord, lead us to that fountain opened for sin and uncleanness, And so, Lord, may we, oh, through that sacred, precious work of grace, know that joy within that no man taketh from us. That sweet assurance that we are thine and thou art ours. Born of the Spirit, born of God, cleansed from every sin in the precious blood of Jesus. Oh, Lord, to such thou art precious. And so, Lord, make thyself precious to each one of us, precious above all earthly things, that we may view thee in all that precious redeeming love, where the things of this earth grow strangely dim in the light of thy glory and grace. Lord, we can ask no greater blessing. We pray, Lord, for the church here. Lord, be with the deacons. Help them, Lord, in all they undertake to do. Hear their prayers. Give them wisdom and grace in the handling of every matter. And, Lord, in every decision that has to be taken, oh, do guide them in it, that all may be done to thine honour and to thy glory in humility before thee. Lord, grant thy blessing upon the church, the members of it. Grant the unity of thy spirit and the bond of thy peace. Lord, who hear their supplications, their united cries, for the good of the church here. Lord, could it be thy will, grant here a settled ministry. O Lord, do give that earnest exercise and bring it to a fruition. Lord, do appoint one to come and, Lord, be used of thee to the prosperity of the church here and of the congregation, that their souls may be fed with the bread of life, the bread of heaven, the truth as it is in Jesus. Lord, remember each one of the congregation. Lord, do work within them thy work of grace. Confirm thy mercy to them. And we pray, Lord, that they may know what it is to have that broken heart, which is the acceptable sacrifice, a confession of sin, and led to Jesus' blood. Lord, do hear us in these things, and we pray, Lord, for churches elsewhere, wherever thy people meet, Lord, in this land and throughout the world. O Lord, do grant much supplies of thy heavenly grace. O Lord, this world and our nation seem to grow more evil. And Lord, we fear what we may have to face in the days, weeks, years, if it's thy will to come. O Lord, do overturn the desires of many who would bring more abominable things under the legislation of our land. Lord, do not let the sacred union of marriage be tainted with the abomination of sin, that such a sacred union could be between man and woman. Lord, it is the heavenly pattern upon this earth of the sacred union between Christ, the heavenly bridegroom, and the church, his bride, for whom he died and gave himself for in that never-failing perfect love. O Lord, may the marriage bond even to us even be such as that. And Lord, yet let it not be defined, redefined. For Lord, wilt not then thy wrath be surely poured out upon us? Yet Lord, remember mercy. Bring those desires to naught who desire it. And Lord, even use these things, that many may turn unto thy word, many may seek unto thee. Lord, it will be used even for good of many, to quicken, Lord, to raise out of a sleepy condition, to acknowledge the truth and the sacredness and the value of the Word of God. Lord, remember our Parliament and give them wisdom. Influence them by thy Spirit. And help those, Lord, that fear thy name in our Parliament, to be firm and bold in all these matters. Maintain to us our Protestant liberties, our freedom of worship. Oh, we thank thee, Lord, we can come this night under such privileges as this. And Lord, let us not let them pass by without true thankfulness. And Lord, remember our Queen in this her Jubilee year. Oh Lord, help her and make her speak concerning thy word as she has done before, faithfully and openly, as she speaks in the various places and occasions that are appointed in the weeks and months to come. Lord, we pray thou wilt grant the knowledge of thy saving grace unto her soul. And may, Lord, she be a strength and a good godly example to the nation in her last days. O Lord, we bear her before thee. Use her to the good of our nation. Lord, we lay these things before thee. Remember each of our loved ones, wherever they may be. Lord, help them in all the circumstances of their life. Any that would be here tonight if they could, remember them where they are, perhaps on holiday, perhaps detained by duty. Lord, thou knowest, we pray for them. If any, Lord, do not fear thy name, appearing to be far off, O Lord, have mercy and draw them nigh by the blood of the cross. Lord, hear us in all these things. Forgive our poor cries. Cleanse them in that precious blood. For we ask all things in the name of Jesus, and for his sake alone. Amen.
In 748... In darkness born I went astray, and wandered from the gospel way. And since the Saviour gave me sight, I cannot see without his light. Hymn 748.
Complete dependence upon our Lord, that he may open up his holy word unto us each aright, that there may be some application and profit to our souls. I'd ask your prayerful attention by way of a text of the book of Job and chapter 19 and verses 25 to 27. The book of Job, chapter 19, verses 25 to 27. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. The book of Job, chapter 19, perhaps in particular the first part of that verse 25. For I know that my Redeemer liveth. I never cease to be amazed at this account of this man Job as recorded in the Holy Scriptures. A godly man. One was upright, that escheweth evil, that feared God, and yet brought to such a low state. A godly man that feared God, eschewed evil, upright, and yet God placed him into the hands of Satan. Is there anywhere else in Scripture of an account of anyone born of Adam's race who came to such a great loss as Job did? Satan accusing him that he feared God only because of the earthly blessings that God had given to him. And so God permitted Satan to take them away, losing his asses, the oxen, the camels on that particular day. But worse than that, he lost his 7 children also. When that day had passed, Job rent his garments. He said, naked came I out of my mother's womb. Naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He fell down on the ground and worshipped. Satan was proved a liar. But Satan determined to have Job. Claimed that if all his well-being, his health and strength were taken away from him, then he would curse God to his face. And the Lord permitted it to the saving of his life. And so Job was struck with those terrible boils and that dreadful disease from the top of his head to the sole of his feet. Yet he charged not God foolishly. He did not sin with his lips. Shall we not receive at the hand of God good and evil? Dear friends, that's no natural earthly spirit, is it? Under a circumstance like that. But on top of that, Satan sought to use his wife, who said unto Job, curse God and die because of these things which have come upon you. Curse God and die. Dear friends, what a temptation from the lips of one whom he loved. And then there were his friends who assembled themselves before him and accused him. Dear friends, no wonder Job, as this sickness continued for many days, it appeared to Job that were probably no end to it, except the pain of death which was yet to come. The sad loss of all his children, his family, no doubt lingered within him very deeply. And in that matter of time, dear friends, he was come to complain before God. Oh, dear friends, we complain before God for much lesser things than this, don't we? Job says, my soul is weary of my life. As he tries to reason within his own self why these things should be, he says to the Lord, thou knowest that I am not wicked. He didn't say he wasn't a sinner. He says, I am not wicked, not like those who fear not God, those who go about with all their terrible deeds and actions, violence, murder, adultery. Thou knowest I am not wicked. I'm not like that. But he came to this. I am full of confusion. I am full of confusion. Dear friends, we do not wonder, do we, that Job was confused in his own mind, in his own reasoning, in his own contemplations concerning this which had come upon him. And it came upon him suddenly. Dear friends, it may be the case with you tonight, I do not know. Matters arising that bring you into confusion, bring you into a low state, things that you would not have if you could control the matters yourself. Well, Job was brought to a place where even he felt it had been better if he had not been born. He says, "Wherefore then hast thou, God, brought me forth out of the womb? Oh, that I had given up the ghost and no eye had seen. I should have been as though I had not been. I should have been carried from the womb to the grave." It said, "Lord, thou hast made me, thou hast built me, give me skin and bones and confusion. Why these things then now that are upon me? Sure it would have been better if I had not come forth from the womb alive." Dear friends, what a low state poor Job was in. How effective can be Satan's sieve? And dear friends, not only was he in such a low state as this, but he then had the accusations of his friends. And we read a little part of that in the next chapter, didn't we? He was accused of speaking lies. "Oh, that God would speak and open his lips against thee." "Thou hast not received that which thine iniquity deserveth. God exacteth of thee less than thine iniquity deserveth." What difference? What solemn accusations and judgments. Dear friends, there's a lesson there for us each, isn't there? How careful we should be when we judge another in their circumstances. We do not understand all things, and how we can add sorrow upon sorrow. This poor man Job was in such a state. And you know, dear friends, I'm sure we could say there's many people who've come into lesser trouble and state of mind and heart and soul than Job did, and have taken their own life. It is better for me to depart this world than to suffer the things of it. And oh, how solemn today that many seek to go that way through this term of euthanasia. Mercy killing. Oh, what a misnomer. Mercy killing. Hastening oneself to a solemn eternity without any hope of eternal life. But Job didn't come to that. Even Job was in such a low state as what we've sought to describe, and that so inadequately. Job never sought to take his own life. And why was that? Because he had something which Satan could not take away from him. No, Satan couldn't take away his physical life. The Lord wouldn't permit that. But Job possessed that within himself which Satan could not even touch, let alone take away. And that was God-given faith. God-given faith. And how that faith is tried. I don't think we find any trial of faith described in the Scriptures more than in this man Job. When I say faith, there's many aspects of faith, aren't there? There's the exercise of faith that aspect of it which could take a little one like David to fight a glorious, a giant like Goliath and slay him. He conquered by faith. There's the faith of which the Lord Jesus speaks that can remove mountains. Dear friends, it's all one faith, but this is the exercise of that faith. In the deepest circumstances and troubles of life, which is one's sole support and it's one's sole strength to be able to bear and to endure all that has come upon one. A faith in God. A deep faith that acknowledges all my times are in thy hand. All events are at thy command. Although Job, in answering his friend, was perhaps left to speak words which were not completely advisable. Dear friends, there were those times when this faith came to the surface. We read a few chapters on. Job says, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Dear friends, that was Job's strength. Everything that was taken place, even though he was brought to confusion, he couldn't understand it, he couldn't reason it out. There was a purpose in it. A purpose of God, which he did not know. But even if he was brought even to death, another step, he says, there is but a step between me and death. Yet would he still trust in him? He knoweth the way that I take. That's faith. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. That's faith, isn't it? Faith in the depths of trouble. Faith when everything is against one. Everything has gone wrong. He had nothing left. Nothing of this worldly goods, nothing he could be satisfied with upon this earth. Yet will I trust in him. Dear friends, in one way it was the faith, wasn't it, of David? Completely different circumstances, not as deep as Job. David fled to Gath, and there he was at the risk of his life from the king of Gath. And David said, when I am afraid, I will trust in him. Oh, dear friends, circumstances of life, they make us afraid, don't they? They make us afraid, perhaps, that the Lord has cast us off. The Lord will not be gracious anymore. And dear friends, if we fall into circumstances that affect us so deeply, then what do you find rising up within you? Unbelief. Oh, Satan is a subtle foe. That's what he caused to rise up in Eve's heart, wasn't it? In the Garden of Eden, by his subtle words. Unbelief. In the word of God, in the commands of God, that if they should eat of that tree, they would surely die. Oh, she turned aside from believing that and believed a lie. And dear friends, how often can we be tempted to turn aside from the word of God, believe a lie and follow it, thinking it in the reasoning of our minds, and the understanding of ourselves that we're going in the right way. It's good for us. Dear friends, that's ways they lead to death. But these are the sore things of temptations, especially in a child of God. You say, how did Job come by such faith? That in spite of all these things, unbelief did not have the power over him. His faith prevailed. Well, dear friends, I believe Job knew what it was to be a sinner. And we read at the very beginning of this chapter we've read tonight, my soul is weary of my life. I will leave my complaint upon myself. I will speak in the bitterness of my soul. Dear friends, this exercise was not only physical. To Job, it was spiritual. Although he said, I am not wicked. Dear friends, I believe he knew he was a sinner. Because in that second verse, I will say unto God, do not condemn me. Do not condemn me. Dear friends, I believe Job must have considered that the Lord was dealing with him far greater than his sins deserved. And he couldn't understand it. He was brought to confusion. He sought to walk in the ways of God. He was upright even in the eyes of God. And yet all this had come upon him. No wonder he was confused. Lord, do not condemn me. And does he not say further in this chapter, thou hast granted me life and favour. And thy visitation hath preserved my spirit. Thy visitation hath preserved my spirit. What visitation is that? Dear friends, that's the visitation of the Spirit of God. To reveal in the heart of Job that the Lord is gracious unto him. It was that effect that caused Job, dear friends, to walk and to seek to walk uprightly in the fear of God, to eschew evil. Job was a child of God through the teaching of the Spirit. And dear friends, the teaching of the Spirit imparts living faith, the gift of God. And it was that gift of God, dear friends, that spirit of faith, through the visitation of God unto him, Satan could not touch. He would never be able to touch it. What God gives, dear friends, he won't let Satan take it away. And therefore, dear friends, it was by faith he cried out those words we have in our text. I know that my Redeemer liveth. No confusion there, was there? There's no confusion, dear friends, in the exercise of faith. That God-given faith. I know that my Redeemer liveth. You see, dear friends, Job knew he needed a Redeemer. And the Lord had given him one. He says, my Redeemer. And dear friends, this was Job's strength. This was Job's anchor. This was Job's refuge. This was Job's only hope of being carried through to endure that which had come upon him. That which the Lord had given unto him. Redemption of his soul. You see how vital, dear friends, this precious gift of faith is of God that causes us to believe in him, to trust in him, to know. Oh, as the Apostle Paul says, I know whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that I have committed unto him against that day, a day of judgment. Dear friends, he was one with Job, and Job was one with the Apostle Paul. Their hope, their security, the anchor of their soul was the same. Their Redeemer, their redemption. Oh, what faith Job was given here. I know that my Redeemer liveth. Dear friends, Job, it's said that Job was one of the first books compiled, one of those ancient books. And Job lived very early on in the years of this earth. Whether that is completely true, I know not, dear friends, it doesn't really matter. But we do know that Job lived before Christ, the Son of God, came upon this earth. But Job, by that faith given of God, the teaching of the Spirit, knew that his Redeemer ever lived. He lived then. The eternal Son of God, appointed in eternity past to be the Saviour of sinners. That he should come to pay the price for his people's sin. And Job here, I know that my Redeemer liveth, ever liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. What a wonderful view. Looking down by faith the years of time which were yet to come, to know that Christ, the Son of God, would condescend to come upon this earth to be his Redeemer, to pay the price for his sins. Dear friends, although that had not taken place in the actual form of it in the days of Job, it was as sure to him as if it had already happened. Here was his hope. Here was the foundation of his faith. I know that my Redeemer liveth. A Redeemer, one who is a near kinsman. A Redeemer, one who has paid a price. A Redeemer, one whose price is to set at liberty. A near kinsman, a brother who is bound. And when that price is paid, dear friends, the bondage in which they're in can no longer hold them. They are set free. And they are not called from bondage into bondage. They are called from the bondage of the one unto whom they have been sold, into the freedom of the love of the one who has redeemed them. And what a price. What a price this redemption. The blood, the life of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the just, the pure, the undefiled, the sinless one. That it may come to pass, as Paul wrote to the Corinthians, wasn't it? He was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Oh, dear friends, what knowledge. To know this great sacrifice for sin, this way of salvation, was for you. Dear friends, this was Job's strength in his deepest tribulation. Nothing could remove it from him. Oh yes, everything of this earth of any good to him had been removed from him. His heart, his mind, so affected by the loss, brought to confusion, not knowing why. But there was something he couldn't sink beneath. The knowledge of the love of God. unto his soul through the giving of his only begotten Son, that he, Job, and all those that believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life, everlasting life. And that's what Job has faith in here, isn't it? I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. Dear friends, worms were seeming to destroy his body then, I'm sure, with all those boils and the had he had to take the potsherd and scrape them, and the dogs, did they not come and lick? As he doesn't, he describes in one of these chapters the terrible state he was in physically. And when that step comes, whenever we didn't know when it would come, he did not know he was going to be delivered from this low state, this great tribulation. But even if he brought him to the time of death, dear friends, he knew that even if his body died and was laid in the tomb, yet in his flesh would he see God. Dear friends, he had faith in the glorious resurrection, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, through Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body into his glorious body. Oh, that glorious day of resurrection. We just considered, haven't we, on the Lord's Day, the day of the Lord Christ's resurrection. Having put away all sin, having destroyed the power of death. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Love's redeeming work was done. Christ arose. Because I live, he says to his own, ye shall live also. Live eternally with me. I go to prepare a place for you. And when I go to if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again, receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. The giver of eternal life, in newness of body. Oh, corruption put away, incorruption established. All the Lord's people, as we read, don't we, in the New Testament, following the work of Christ, his own shall be raised incorruptible, and to meet with him, with the Lord, to be forever with him. Now Job had faith in this, in spite of all his sorrow. Dear friends, in spite of everything against him, he looked beyond earthly things. Now, dear friends, what do you do? What do I do? We're like David, aren't we? The things of this life can so crowd in. It's like as if we'd be drowned under the deep waters of them. The waters have come in upon our soul. Is there any of you like that tonight? I'm sure that's how Job felt. The waters were upon him. No possibility of any good thing proceeding from it. But in spiritual terms, in the spirit of what the Lord had done for him, he could look beyond all the things of this earth, all the things of time, to look to those things which are eternal. The eternal redemption, the eternal love, the eternal grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That work on Calvary for the good and for the redemption of his soul, that he may have eternal life, redeemed from the grave to live forever with the Lord. Oh, dear friends, that's the strength, isn't it? Of the people of God who are tried and tempted, tormented, in great tribulation. You may say like Jacob, all these things are against me. Well, they may do as you look at it with your own understanding. But the scripture says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. Trust to the Lord, this great Redeemer, who has done all things for you. He is able to work all these things for your good. He has promised your eternal good. He is faithful that hath promised, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Dear friends, what a comfort these things are to those that are in trouble. The Lord knows the way you take. Yes, when he hath tried you, your times are in his hand, these things, they're all for a purpose. And they will all end in spite, whatever they are, they will all end in the fulfilling of this work of Christ for your soul. I go to prepare a place for you, what a promise, that he shall come again, receive you unto himself, there to live in the fullness of that joy forevermore. He says, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. Those reins, literally in the Hebrew, means kidneys. In other words, your inward parts. That's all gone. The things of this flesh have gone. Your nature of this life has gone. But in that glorious resurrection, oh, there in that, what is raised incorruptible, all sin put away. I shall see him for myself, and mine eyes shall behold and not another. You know, dear friends, Job could foresee this glorious resurrection. And notice what he says. I shall behold him, my Redeemer, and not another. Or as the margin says, a stranger. He'll only have eyes for the one who hath redeemed him, who hath loved him with an everlasting love, blotted out all his transgressions, called him by grace, cleansed his soul from every sin, put away the sickness of it from him, that he be found acceptable in the sight of a holy God. Oh, a sinner prepared for eternal life. I shall behold him, not another. Oh, dear friends, you know there's some who say they'll see their loved ones in glory. We don't find that in Scripture. Jesus says those that are raised from the dead into heaven, they're not male nor female. They don't marry. They're not given in marriage. They are as the angels in heaven. And they always behold the Father's face. Oh, dear friends, what it will be like there, we cannot tell. But have we the hope? Have we the hope that it is for us? Oh, this precious gift of faith, to view our Saviour all complete, to know it was for me. Oh, Spirit of truth, come down. Reveal these things of God. Make to me salvation known. Witness with the blood. No man can truly say that Jesus is the Lord, except thou, the Lord, take the veil away. The veil of unbelief, the nature's darkness. Impart living faith. Breathe the living word. Oh, the living word with faith, dear friends, is what we need, isn't it? That we may embrace this truth of this glorious Redeemer, Jesus Christ, even as Job did in the depths of his troubles. It carried him through. Dear friends, through faith he looked beyond the things of time to that time when he would view his Saviour's face without a cloud between. I think it's David, isn't it, who says, writes in Psalm 17, I shall be satisfied when I awake in his likeness. His likeness. Oh, the power of redemption. That a sinner such as you and me could be translated into one that is of the likeness of the Son of God. Dear friends, this is the work of Christ. This is the will of God to all those for whom Christ died. These are the ones who shall dwell with him in glory forevermore. These are the sinners who are saved by grace. Dear friends, is there anything upon this earth you desire more greatly than the knowledge of your sins forgiven, your soul's redemption, your assurance of your pardon sealed, and peace with God? Oh, then let us give attention to it. In the midst of this life, in all things that come upon us, we don't get as low as Job, do we? But let us ever consider him who endured the cross, despising the shame, who bore the contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your minds. That's where the things of our life and our earth as we carry on, even you younger people may have many things that cause you to be cast down. What did David say? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted with him? Many things. He had many things against him. He was poor and needy. Hope thou in God, for thou shalt yet praise him, who for the help of his countenance, or as the health, as the other verse says, the health of thy countenance and thy God. Oh, dear friends, if the beginning is right, the ending will be right. Where faith and hope come together, there's a glorious expectation. That expectation of the faithfulness of God, that what he hath spoken, it shall come to pass. Underneath you, dear friends, are those everlasting arms. You're his. He will not let you go. None, says Jesus, shall ever pluck thee out of my hand. None shall ever pluck thee out of my Father's hands. I and my Father are one. And Jesus prayed for those that believed in him, through the word, the preached word of those disciples, that they should be one, even as he is one. Oh, what a glorious Saviour. Prayed for you to be kept, to be upheld through faith, that precious gift of the Spirit, that even in the deepest trial upon this earth, you will ever be able to declare, I know my Redeemer liveth. Oh, that'll strengthen you, won't it? That'll support you. That'll help you to carry on. That'll help you to face whatever may come before you. The Lord knoweth all things concerning me. He has borne all my sins. He's been tempted in all points such as I am. Did Christ my Lord suffer? Shall I repine? I know my Redeemer liveth, that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth, and though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold and not another, though my reins be concealed within me. Dear friends, may the blessing of everlasting life be given unto you now, the sweet assurance of it, through that precious faith, the gift of God. For that which God gives will never be taken away from you. He that hath begun that good work, he will perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. Think upon these things. Amen.
God willing, next Lord's Day, Mr. Timothy Parish will preach. This is only the second time that he will have preached away from Luton. And we hope that we each may be given a spirit of special prayer for him, that he may be helped here. And this is instead of Mr. Wheatley coming in the evening. And God willing, Mr. Sayers will preach on Wednesday evening next week. Let us close with hymn 1075. Thou hidden love of God, whose height, whose depth unfathomed no man knows, I see from far thy beauteous light, and inly sigh for thy repose. My heart is pained, nor can it be at rest, till I find rest in thee. Hymn 1075.
Lord, do speak to us concerning the salvation of our souls. And remember the word upon which thou doth cause us to hope. Apply it again, Lord, in power, in the times of our need. And, O Lord, work all things together for our good, yea, for our eternal good, that all things in this life may be sanctified to the good of our never-dying soul. Lord, only thou canst do this. Have mercy upon us as we separate. Give us a good night's rest. Prepare us for the day tomorrow. And may we know thy presence with us. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost abide with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.